the latest postmortem on the Department of Health and Human Services struggles with healthcare.gov is from the Office of Inspector General at HHS. It finds serious managerial problems with the development and deployment of the website. Larry Allen is president of Allen Federal Business Partners, and he has two key takeaways from the Inspector General's report. Larry, the details of the report are posted later today at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. But you point out this is noteworthy for two things. What's the first one, Larry?
Well, the first thing is that the HHSIG came out and said, look, there were substantial shortcomings in how the agency managed this contract. They didn't do what they were supposed to do. They didn't provide the guidance or the oversight of the contractors performing the work that they said they were going to do, and that really helped contribute to healthcare.gov being a mess.
The second takeaway, though, is more troubling, I guess, for the contracting community, not just that supported healthcare.gov, but who might find themselves supporting something similar in the future, isn't it?
Well, that's the big takeaway I have, Francis. And the point is, look, the HHSIG's report is a good one, but it comes out almost two full years after the whole healthcare.gov issue blew up all over the front page, all over Congress. So, and for contractors, all the damage for the contractors has already been done. So, you know, we've got all that to deal with on your own as the contractor. You've got to understand that while your customer might have not done everything correctly on their end, that by the time they may be held accountable, you may be out of the job.
You write, HHS won't even say if there's any internal personnel action taken as a result. If transparency is good for industry, why not government? That has been the biggest bone that people have had to pick with the HHSIG all along, is a reluctance to name names. One can certainly understand, though, why getting into a habit of providing a laundry list of bad actors would be an unfortunate precedent to set. And maybe give government employees the sense that there's no protection at all if they make even the slightest mistake.
Right, and I understand that, and I acknowledge it, and I agree with that point. I think there is a middle ground here, though, Francis. Not only were no names named, you don't need to name names, but I think the public would probably like to know, look, as a result of this review, three people in the agency were reassigned to other jobs, and one person agreed to resign. You don't need to say who those people were. You don't need to say where they were reassigned. But that does give you some sense that, oh, people who made mistakes on the government side were held accountable too. It wasn't just the people in industry that lost their jobs, that got hauled up before Congress to try to explain themselves. So that there's some fundamental sense of fairness in the process here, so that if contractors and industry are truly working together towards a common goal, that there's also some degree of common accountability.
So, yeah, and that's the item that you closed this note that you sent to me about this. Don't ever think your customer will be held to the same degree of accountability you are, especially if your company's publicly traded. If I'm a contractor hearing that, I'm inclined to think that maybe this is a business space I don't want to be in.
Well, you know, one of the pieces of advice I always provide to my clients is to understand that there's always more to the business part of doing business with the government. There's always going to be some mission element to it that comes with some degree of either internal or external agency oversight. And certainly in the case of the healthcare.gov contract, one that had national importance, that was that whole degree of outside observation was magnified by at least a factor of 10. But even today, when I talk to companies doing business with the Department of Veterans Affairs, for example, that's an agency that always has very heightened congressional oversight because of its mission. So you have to be prepared to do business in that space, not just from an execution standpoint, but from the standpoint of being able to understand the political environment and the oversight that you're getting your company into.
Larry Allen's the president of Allen Federal Business Partners. And in addition to that discussion, you're writing in the Week Ahead newsletter this week about the Defense Authorization Act and what acquisition professionals and contractors can expect to see in it. I guess the main question is, will we ever get to the National Defense Authorization Act? That's not your bailiwick. What's in the NDAA drafts, both House and Senate, that contractors should be paying attention to?
Well, I kind of like this. Both the House and the Senate Armed Services Committees have tried to put together an NDAA that streamlines acquisition. And I think arguably, Francis, outside of weapons systems, this is probably the defense bill that has the most acquisition reform in it than any time in the last several years. So just one of the things that is in the Senate bill is expanded use of other procurement authority. This is something that exists today but isn't widely used and is very limited in scope. The Senate bill would open up other procurement authority and make it usable for more types of procurements than it's usable for now, and be able to take a procurement further along in the process, all the way up to actual production of whatever is devised during the initial development process. Similarly, talking about finding more accountability for the service branch chiefs and program managers, everyone will be held responsible. I think if you understand that as a contractor, you understand that some of the issues we talked about in our first segment, they won't go away, but they might be mitigated, and that'll create a better business environment for you to do business in. And I'm looking forward to having a final version of the NDAA implemented. You know, as you say, we don't know when that might be, but we do know that there's been a very healthy track record of, I think, somewhere around 50 years of Defense Authorization Acts being passed. I'm not sure this is the year that will end that track record.
Larry, we just have a minute or so left, but you write something that is a little bit troubling regarding clarity and accountability. Perhaps the biggest challenge for contractors will be convincing their DoD buyers that they have the authority to use streamlined acquisition procedures. If there's nothing in the NDA to change that, I guess it's not surprising, but it's also, I don't find it tremendously encouraging.
Well, and I think that's the cautionary tale, at least one, Francis. That is that right now we're in a very risk-averse procurement environment that goes for DOD just as much as any agency.
That's the understatement of the day, by the way, Larry.
Right. We also know that DOD senior leadership has been reluctant to train the acquisition workforce on the leeway and authority they have now to use streamlined acquisition methods, as well as provide training on other latest developments. So here we're talking about in this bill putting on another layer of things meant to help people do their jobs. But if they're not getting the training on things that are already in place to help them, there's not a lot of reason to be upbeat about whether they'll be trained on these new capabilities. Bottom line, a better educated contractor is the way to go here. You all have to know what your contracting officer can do and be able to show them that taking an innovative approach is okay.
I feel like I'm back at Sims when they were still in business.
That's right.
An educated consumer is our best customer.
We're always sharp-dressed.
Well, I don't know about that. Larry Allen's the president of Allen Federal Business Partners and publishes the Week Ahead newsletter. It's great to talk to you as always, my friend.
Thank you, Francis.